Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Eric, thank you. I'm joined now by a guy who does a fabulous job covering the Steelers for the Post-Gazette, Ray Fittipaldo. Ray, good afternoon. How are you, man? Are you staying out of that? You staying out of that Latrobe heat yet?
Yeah, I know. A couple more hours and we'll be out there at the first practice. So, you know, a little bit of a calm before the storm, so to speak.
You had an interesting story today of just how business as usual for the first time in a long time at Steelers training camp. I know people remember that Le'Veon was not there last year, but he also wasn't there the year before either in training camp. It's nice, I guess, from the Steelers standpoint to have everybody there seemingly ready to go.
Yeah, and you don't have that specter of a holdout or, you know, somebody trying to work out a deal on the franchise tag. So, yeah, I mean, in addition to all the distractions that Antonio Brown, of course, caused, that now you also have you don't have to talk about the Le'Veon Bell situation. And, you know, I thought that all the leaders, and if you notice, Ron, it was all veterans who talked yesterday, Joe Hayden, Cam Hayward. I think this is by design. I don't think they wanted any distractions to open camp. And these guys just want to get on with their work, get on with the season. They know they got to put a lot of work in up here, but this is just a team that has a business-like approach to these next few weeks, and I think they're going to be better for it. I think there was a lot that went on behind the scenes last year that probably wasn't talked about enough, and obviously it got talked about after the Antonio Brown episode in Week 17, but there was a lot of underlying stuff all season, and I think this team is better off not having all those distractions, obviously, this summer.
I just see Ben Roethlisberger on TV up there. He spoke a little while ago. Were you a part of that, Ray?
No, Jerry's handling that, but, you know, he's back there writing the story now. And, you know, some of the guys were talking yesterday. You know, Ben, I don't know if you want to say he's going to be more motivated, Ron, because he's always motivated, but if you noticed in the spring, he was there for, if not all, he was there for most of the OTAs. He was doing a lot of teaching to the young guys. So I think he's really in tune to what's going on this year. I think he wants to bring the young guys along maybe quicker this year. If you remember last year, Ron, you know, James Washington had his moments in camp. He flashed a little bit, but then he didn't really get going during the regular season. I think you'll see Ben working a lot more with Washington this summer and with Deontay Johnson and Dante Moncrief, just so they can sort of hit the ground running and just so they won't have any hiccups, much in the same way they did last year when Washington got off to that slow start.
All right, Ray, the big story of the first day of camp was a contract for Mike Tomlin, 1 year, not two like they normally do, but it looks like 1 year with an option for the team that they can have Tomlin for another year if they want him. They announced it at least through 2021. I believe you were a guy that didn't believe in giving him one at this point. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I think just by giving him this one-year deal, I think it's probably a little bit of a compromise. I don't think that Art Rooney wanted that hanging over Mike's head all season, because if things did go bad, you know, you could see that situation, you know, the pressure would be turned up on him. So it's not what they usually do. They usually extend him for 2 years when he has 2 years remaining on his contract. So, you know, I don't want to sit here and read too much into what Art's thinking, because, you know, only he could speak for what he's truly thinking. But this was a little bit different. And I still think Mike Tomlin has some things to prove, not only for the, you know, the collapse at the end of last season on the field, but obviously the behavior off the field and, you know, how he handled some of those situations.
Do you still think he is one of the best coaches in the league?
I do. I think he's probably a top five or a top 10 coach in this league. I know there was some kind of crazy ranking, you know, probably a week or so
had him ninth. I think it was NFL.com that had him ninth behind guys like Andy Reid and Harbaugh and Anthony Lynn. And, man alive, I didn't see that.
Well, I mean, Ron, you could see how Mike Tomlin would want more money from the Steelers. Andy Reid is making $11 million a year. He's never won a Super Bowl. Pete Carroll is making $11 million a year, and he has as many Super Bowls as Mike. So, listen, if Mike really wants to, you know, take a hard line, you know, in a couple more years, he certainly can do that. But he seems like he's happy here. You know, I think he's going into year 13 now. So he's starting to approach that Bill Cowher, you know, Chuck Knoll territory. Bill was here for 15 years before he decided to get out of it. Chuck, of course, was here for 20. And, you know, it certainly looks like Mike's going to be able to get at least as far as Bill, unless things really go haywire, you know, in the next couple of years.
My guest is Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. Does a great job covering the Steelers for us. And I got to ask you, Ray, I kind of expected maybe Kevin Colbert to get a little contract extension yesterday, too. Thought the Steelers might do it both ways, both at the same time. Now, I know Kevin's older, may not want to go a whole lot longer. I think he signed through the draft next spring. Do you anticipate something happening with him?
Yeah, Ron, I mean, that's a completely different situation just because, as you mentioned, he's going to turn 63 right after the season ends. I don't know if there's any urgency to sign him to a deal. I think if Kevin wants to come back, I think Art will have him back. And I don't necessarily know that that has to take place during training camp the way they've handled that in the past. I mean, if I remember correctly, they've always done Mike and Kevin on the same day or, you know, within a week of each other. I don't know if there's that urgency this year. You know, if Kevin wants to be here, I think he can sign a deal at the end of August, or he could sign a deal at the end of December, or, you know, in early January before the draft comes around. So I think as long as he wants to continue working for the Steelers, I think he'll have that opportunity. But listen, Ron, I don't think it's too early to look ahead either. He's closer to the retirement than he is to his prime. And whenever they have to fill that role, they're going to have some huge shoes to fill because he's been so instrumental, you know, in building these championship teams and more recently these contenders, you know, since he's been here starting in the year 2000.
How about the players that are up for contracts? Obviously, Joe Hayden, the going into the last year of his deal, Javon Hargrave and Sean Davis. Give me your interpretations of what might happen with all three of those guys. I know Hayden spoke yesterday that the two sides are talking, and that's a good thing. My feeling is they almost have to do a deal with him. I don't like what their alternatives are.
I mean, what are you going to do, Ron? Are you going to play Justin Lane as a rookie? Obviously, I don't think they want to turn, you know, to Artie Burns if something happens there. So I think you're right. And I think there's the potential down the line if they have to. I don't think immediately, but if they have to, you know, Joe Hayden could be a sub-package safety or, you know, a free safety down the road if indeed he would lose a step in the next 2 to 3 years, you know, depending on, you know, how long they signed him for. So I think that's priority number one. I think they have to get that done. And you mentioned Hargrave. And just before you guys called, I got a chance to talk to Javon, you know, here at lunchtime. And he's interesting, Ron. He's very productive. He's not just a nose tackle. He's bumped out. He's played some defensive end and sub packages. He told us today that he thinks there's going to be more of a rotation with he, Cam, and Stephon than they have in recent years. So I would expect his production to go up. And then what do you pay a guy like that? He's not a nose tackle. He certainly doesn't produce like a nose tackle, so he's not going to come cheap. I think that's probably the hardest one to project, but I think he's a valuable player, and I think the Steelers would like to have him around if they can come to an agreeable deal.
And the last one, Sean Davis.
Yeah, I mean, Sean, listen, I think – for me, I think I don't want to say that's the last priority, but for me, he hasn't produced like a second-round pick. The interceptions aren't there. He doesn't cause fumbles. He doesn't get the turnovers. Ron, maybe that'll change in year four. You know, we've all talked about how this is going to be his second year of free safety. He says this is his most comfortable position, so maybe things will change. But if it's me, if I'm Kevin Colbert, I'm not in a hurry to get that done before the season, because I want to see the production on the field before I pay him.
I'm talking to Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette here on the Cook and Joe Show. And Ray, I wrote about this in Sunday's PG. It's already up online on postgazette.com about just what a conundrum Chris Boswell is at this camp. They put some pressure on him by getting him to defer his $2 million roster bonus until after the exhibition games, and I think he realized that he probably would have been cut if he had refused to defer. But by the same token, how much do you judge him by what he does in the preseason? He could kick perfectly, and does that mean he's going to be good when the regular games count? I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know if you watched Tomlin's press conference yesterday, but it was very interesting. Somebody sort of threw out there, well, how do you judge Chris Boswell when he's not going to face any pressure or any real pressure in these training camp practices or these preseason games? And Mike Tomlin shot back, wait to see. We're going to put him in some pressure situations. We're going to create that atmosphere so he does feel like he's competing for his job. So I know it's only practices, and I know, they're just preseason games, but I think the Steelers are intent on judging him and Matthew Wright, his competition, this summer by how they kick in practice. And, the first three preseason games are going to count. That'll be a part of it too. But I think that competition in these practices here up at St. Vincent, I think those are going to be very important in determining who's going to be the place kicker here in 2019.
I guess they can create situations that, like at the end of practice, running them out there, you got 5 seconds to line up and kick a 40-yarder, somehow reward the rest of the team maybe if he makes it, and somehow punish the rest of the team if he doesn't make it. I guess those are some situations you can kind of create for the kicker at training camp practices.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that's a good thing. I remember, the contract was hanging over Chris last summer, and he didn't sign until I think the very end of their stay up here at St. Vincent. And, he didn't have a great camp. So then he signed the contract, and then he got off to the terrible start. It was a disaster. I actually think him sort of kicking for his job this summer will maybe get him back to where he was when he was, a first-year, second-year player, just sort of playing for the minimum all those years. And I think that could be a good thing for Chris. I'm not saying it's going to solve his problems. Only he really knows what went on inside his head last year. But we all know he has the leg. We all know he's done it in the past. He just has to get back in that right frame of mind. And I think with Mike creating that competition this summer, I think that might be a good thing for him.
Any other interesting battles you're looking forward to now that they finally get on the field today?
No, Ron, I think right tackle is probably Matt Filer's to lose. They didn't do a whole lot of, competition there in the spring. Maybe that'll change up here in training camp once they get the pads on. For me, the big position battles are for depth. Who are your backup safeties? They don't have any great options there. Who's your backup tight end? We all saw that Xavier Grimble didn't show himself well, in that Denver game last year. Are you going to count on him to be that number two? So watch these first couple of weeks of practice up here in Latrobe, Ron. I don't think they're going to be shy about going out and getting a backup tight end if they're not happy with Grimble, and I don't think they'll be shy about going out and getting a backup safety if they're not happy with the depth behind Terrell Edmonds and Sean Davis.
Ray, before I let you go, I got to ask you, it seems like there's a lot of love out there for the Browns, obviously, which I find amusing. They're still the Browns until proven otherwise to me. Even for Baltimore, they won the division last year. I sense that the Steelers that you've talked to, and at least I've heard from, seem to be kind of enjoying the fact that they're not getting a lot of love and the other teams in the division are.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting theme to watch throughout the season because – I think it was Ramon Foster who had a very good quote yesterday, and he says it's not about how many Pro Bowlers you have, how many stars you have, how many All-Pros. It's about the best team that comes together that wins a Super Bowl every year. And we know that's the case. If you've watched this team over the last, really since 2014, since, they got to be good again, having that star system and superstars at every position, it didn't matter. In the end, all they did in that stretch is really get the one AFC championship game, and they were outclassed by a better team in that game by the Patriots. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing some new guys step up. You know, we all know they have to replace a lot of production, you know, with Antonio Brown and Bell gone now. But I think just having a true team, you know, not having, you know, a couple of selfish guys, I think that's going to be better for this team. And, you know, I think it could be a good thing in the end. I don't know if they're going to get back to the playoffs, Ron. I don't know if they're going to win the North, but I still think they're going to be a contender. So I think that'll be an interesting storyline to watch for sure as the season develops.
Well, I was just going to ask you one last thing. Between you and me, okay, I won't say anything to anybody else, just between you between you and me here, do you think they're going to win the division? If you had to make that prediction right now, they win the division or they don't, and I'll give you the right to change your mind again after the preseason plays out, but just between you and me, what do you think?
Such a tough question, Ron.
No, I don't want a tough question. I don't want a Pompey Annie answer here. Give me an answer. One, yes or no.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're putting the pressure on me. I will say yes, that I think all three of those teams are going to be in that 9-7, 10-6 range, and I think the Steelers will win it with 10 wins. Maybe they'll earn a tiebreaker. I don't think they're going to be a juggernaut this year. They have too many question marks. But, yes, I'm still not a believer in the Browns, and I think the Ravens as well, they've got a lot to prove with a young quarterback as well.
All right, Ray, I'll keep that between us, okay? I won't offer your prediction to anybody else, okay?
That's good. That's good. I know your ratings, Ron, so I'm not worried.
What is that? What does that mean? My ratings are great. Starkey's going to be offended when he hears that.
Okay, well, have Starkey call me then.
All right. Hey, Ray, thanks, man. Enjoy the rest of the day. We'll be in touch again real soon. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Ron. Appreciate you having me on.
How about that cheap shot at the end there from Mr. Fittipaldi?
From one of the most likable people in Pittsburgh media.
Yeah. That was a little bit of a cheap shot, I thought.
He nailed you, Cookie.
He did. I guess I deserved that. The Fan Morning Show porch tour is ready to come to your house. Register at 937thefan.com now to have the Fan Morning Show guys broadcast from your house with food and drinks for you and your friends. One date remaining, August 16th. I believe there's one this afternoon, actually. But there's one date remaining, August 16th. It's brought to you by Gutter Helmet, Old Smoky, Iron City, Fanatic Compressions, Permane Brothers, and J&D Waterproofing. A Hagman update next, and then we're going to take your Steeler phone calls. You'll hear from Ben Roethlisberger at 1 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. I'm Ron Cook. It's Cook and Joe on Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.